just looking at this. I'm trying to pull up the link that you sent me.
For which one?
The link for this one, the Steam, your kid's favorite video game app has a big Nazi problem. Oh, oh Jesus. Okay.
What a great world we're in, right?
What a world we live in.
Back with a new show deep in the basement. Professionalism turned off, screw the ad placement. Skit, comedy, trolling, plate full of dough. People get offended, you don't get the show.
And welcome to another You Don't Get the Show, the show where either you get it or you don't. I'm Jay Ellerock. I'm here with my man Randy. What's up?
What's up, player?
Man, can you believe it? We're cranking out the shows now. We're almost like a real YouTube channel.
Yeah. At least the one beautiful thing I have got to say since last time we recorded is I got them in hand. Ooh. There it is. The PAX 2018 badge.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So gonna get all types of footage because now we hyped. We're hyped for all this footage that we're expecting to see.
Now I'm hyped to watch it. Fuck, I'm going to take my damn phone out there and the shit's going to fucking be horrible and I'm not going to be able to record much of shit.
Nah, just put your own dialogue. Put like a mixtape over it or something if the sound comes out bad.
If I can record audio, then overuse the audio from something else.
Yeah. All right, so last time we were talking about like video game violence and this whole thing that was happening after the tragedy that happened here in Florida.
And then y'all had a freaking bridge, collapse.
Oh, man. You know, the crazy thing about that is apparently that there's information going around that there was a voicemail that was sent out to one of the engineers. Well, for people that don't know, FIU, one of our colleges here in Florida, their bridge collapsed and it ended up killing some people and hurting a whole bunch of other people. So what ended up happening is like there's a voicemail that was sent to one of the engineers saying, hey, we found like this crack in here. But don't worry about it. You know, it's not like it's like anything we got to worry about right now, but it's something to consider in the future. And the next thing you know, like a couple of days later, this tragedy happens. So it's like, I don't know, man. People are always talking about pushing stuff down the line, and that's how bad things happen. But yeah, so as far as the video game violence thing happens, a lot of times people get this idea about video game violence because kids are playing video games. And I remember back in the early days of Red Eye, because both Randy and I come from Red Eye Land Party, which was down here in Miami, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood. We moved around a couple of places. And in one of the instances of Red Eye, it was like not too long after Columbine. That's how old we are, by the way. Mm. We're kind of dating ourselves. And we had like a camera crew from like one of the CBS documentary people come out for one of our members.
That shit.
Yeah, and they came out and they like were doing like filming us, right? And it was just like they were trying to like connect the two because you know these guys were like who were part of it. They were called like the Trench Coat Mafia. So it was like dressing up and it was like this video game. So it's supposed to be like, oh, look at all these kids playing these violent video games and we're playing like Quake and all that. So they're showing all these images of us going crazy on the computer, like, ah, and then us like, ah, oh, you suck and I'm going to kill you. And it's supposed to like, you know, you juxtapose that with like shootings as if that automatically means that just because we might get hype that we're going to go out and kill someone. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today, because one of the topics that always comes up, especially lately, is the toxicity that you see in gaming. And it could be anything from someone being racist or sexist or homophobic or just being just toxic. Anyone that plays League of Legends or any of those MOBAs knows about toxicity. Someone, you go in there and you make the slightest mistake. You're not being an asshat. You could just go in a game and make a slight mistake and someone is going to tear your ass apart. So people know about that. But what is the difference between someone just giving you a hard time, someone trash talking you, and then someone being toxic? And when does it raise to the level where you have people who actually feel threatened, or when you actually start threatening someone and someone thinks you're going to do something, or your feelings get hurt so bad that you decide to retaliate by doing things like what Randy was talking about, sending SWAT teams, telling people that you have cocaine or you're a terrorist or things like that. And one of your unique perspectives that Randy and I both have is that we had this big group in Miami and we're diverse. So this is one of these things that, you know, it's not a white thing or a black thing or something like that. Anyone can be toxic. But our group, we have white, black, Hispanic, you know, Asian. We had all types of groups. You know, we had women there too. Not that many, a couple, but we had them. And we would all attack each other. We would say all types of things. But, I mean, Randy, correct me if I'm wrong. It never rose to the level where there was really any hurt feelings. Maybe sometimes you might feel a little hurt if you just got curb stomped in a game and someone trash talked you. But it was never more than like, damn, I feel bad, and you walked away. It never got toxic. Even the rivalries between Heat and Red Eye never got toxic, God. Right?
No, yeah. Like, it was funny because I remember we would talk so much shit in that room. I mean, it was like if you were a fly on the wall, you'd swear that we were out to kill one another in that place. But it was like at the end, we all just had a good time. Like, we enjoyed playing, you know, we drank a beer together. Like, it was the most, if you walked in not knowing, it was probably one of the most hostile areas you would have walked into and go, God damn, let me get the fuck out of here. But at the end of the day, like, it was just like we were all cool about it. And I'll never forget, like, especially like the Heat rivalry with the Red Eye. Like, I will never, ever, ever forget the day that we used to play Ghost Recon. Which Ghost Recon was it? It was it was one of the early ones on. It's like Ghost Warrior or something like that. Like, one of the really early ones, if you remember. And I remember Heat was sitting over there just talking shit. And they're like, you guys get your best three. We'll go up against our best three and we'll sit there and do it. And I remember it was the three Heat guys against me, Genome, and fucking Penguin, who were probably the three people that played the most Ghost Recon. And I'll never forget this shit because I took the 50 cal sniper rifle and the Desert Eagle. And we were playing on this one map that was like straight out of Saving Private Ryan, where it was like destroyed town. It was a bell tower on one side of the map. And then the other team spawned in where you had to like work your way down the block. So I remember laying myself down in this one room that I could look out to the corner where the corner of the map was, because it was like a dog leg map. And I'm sitting there watching and I see, you know, both Genom and Flying Penguin go. And all of a sudden, like, I hear ratatat, like they get one of their guys. All of a sudden their sniper, boom, takes out one of our guys. And then like I see, I think it was like Flying Penguin come around the corner, rah, 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 boom, he's down. So it's literally down to me and two of their guys. And I'm like, okay, one's the sniper, one's going to be looking for him. And all of a sudden, I remember I'm looking at the corner, and what do? Is I see like a little head kind of like peek out around the corner and start looking and peek back. And I'm like, all right, go ahead and peek out again, because I know he was, because he had no idea. All of a sudden, dude peeks out a second time, boom, right in between the eyes, just dropped. So we're sitting there. So now I know it's me as the sniper against him as the sniper. And I said, if he's playing sniper, there's only one place he can be, on that side of the map. So me talking shit to him, I'm like, you know, you can sit up in that bell tower for the rest of the match. I'll let it go to a draw. I don't care. And I did this because of one of two things. I'm like, number one, little jab at him of like, come on, bring it, bring your A game. And B, I knew how Heat was. So the moment those words came out of my mouth, what do I end up hearing from their side of the thing? Oh, shit, dog, you better not let him talk shit like that to you. You better go down there and kill his ass. That's literally all I heard. And I'm like, all right, now I got him in my court. And what ends up happening, I'm sitting there waiting, and I'm waiting and I'm waiting, still looking at this corner. And he does the little peek and comes back. I'm like, the moment he peeks again, I got him. My stupidly is I ended up tapping my keyboard and I moved. And if you remember on those old Ghost Recons, when you moved, it took a while before your like crosshairs kind of like re-locked in, so you got a perfect shot. So just as it's in the middle and it's almost locked in, I see him peek out a second time and I shoot and I literally whiz the bullet over his head. But all of a sudden I see him kind of like run and I'm like, crap. And I'm like, well, he's crossing the street, which means he's going to be on my side. And I'm sitting there looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm not moving at all. And all of a sudden, like, I'm zoomed in with an 8x scope and I literally see my scope go dark and then light again. And I'm like, holy crap, he literally just walked in front of me. So I'm like, at that point, first thought in my mind is like, all right, I'm dead. Like, he caught me. But I didn't realize is he walked in front of the door that I was sitting inside the room in, so he didn't see me. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I sat there and I, like, pulled up. I literally had one bullet left in the chamber. And I start crouch walking out real slow. And I round the corner and I, like, lean out. And I see him kind of, like, with his gun looking down the street. And I'm like, all right, I got two choices here. Either I shoot him with the single bullet I got left in this sniper rifle. But if it doesn't kill him, I'm screwed. And I'm like, or I pull out my secondary. I'm like, screw it. Pull out the Desert Eagle. I'm literally walking behind him step for step. And I have the Desert Eagle square center in the center of his back. And all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there, I literally see one of his teammates is watching the map from his monitor. He does one of these and turns and looks at my monitor and sees where I am. And just as he's like about to yell out, shit, he's behind you, dude, I just start dot, 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 dot. I remember, because in that game, you could put body armor on. I'm sitting there point blank range with a Desert Eagle, just doot, 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 doot. And with the recoil, I'm shooting. I'm literally going up his back. So I'm like putting one bullet dead center mass in his back, second bullet up onto his like shoulder as he's turning. Third bullet went into his shoulder. Fourth bullet went right like underneath his neck because he turned around to shoot me. And literally last bullet as I shot, and I ran the gun dry, was right in between his eyes, just boom. And I just see his guy drop. Everybody in that red eye just, the freaking shit talking that we could do after that. Oh, man. But the funny thing is, with all that crap that was said and everything like that, we all shook hands. It was all cool. And they stopped talking shit after that.
And that was the thing. We had all types of groups come from all around. I mean, even the very first Red Eye that started, we had like 20 something people. And it got to the point where we had over 100 people like packed into a warehouse. So, I mean, imagine that, bringing all these people together. I mean, yes, you see some of these like crazy huge sponsored LAN parties that has like tons of people. This wasn't that. This was just a group of people who got together, and then it slowly started to spread more and more, and people started to come out. And then you started having people come from like farther North Florida coming down. So you had all these different people coming together. So you had people that had their own groups. Maybe they had a LAN party of like 5-10 people, and they said, hey, let's join in with these guys. And like I said, there was always shit talking. I remember we had this group come down from like Central Florida or something. And these guys would talk hell of shit because they were like supposed to be like sophisticated. Like they didn't like the fact that we were like drinking like soda and beer, and we had like chips and stuff. They had wine and they played tournament maps and all this fancy stuff. And I remember they came down and I like created all these like, you know, high resource maps in like StarCraft. So we played a StarCraft map and we played like their team and we kicked their ass and we were like talking shit. And they got all upset and they're like, oh, well, play us in an official tournament map and we'll show you how great it is. And we're like, fine. So they loaded up one of their official tournament maps and we whooped their ass again. And then they got all quiet, packed up their shit and just left. Didn't say a word. And we're like, okay, that's fine. But the thing is that even in cases like that, where they got a little butt hurt and they left, there was no violence. Nope. There was no real anger. There's nothing like that. And Red Eye went on for years. And it got to the point where we mainly met once a month. But there were times where we even met twice a month. Plus, often we developed friendships and we would hang out during, you know, off times too, just on weekends and play games as well. Shit, so
I remember the fucking all-you-can-eat buffets that we used to just roll in hella deep, like 20 people, 25 people.
Yeah, so
scare the shit out of the freaking the maitre d', like, ah, shit.
And that's the thing. So do you think that perhaps the reason why you have people that are so toxic is just the fact that A, it's not face to face, and then B, that these people can't make friends? Because, man, I have to hearken it back to so many people that I keep hearing saying that they can't make friends, which to me is amazing that people say that they can't make friends. And I'm talking about people who are like in high school. I get it. Like, you know, being a fat kid in high school is difficult. People pick on you, whatever. And I can imagine having it where someone can take a picture you put on Facebook or whatever, or Twitter. That can suck. But man, I don't know how someone doesn't make friends. And maybe that's because there's just different things. Maybe it's hard for you to be social. But do you think that's why you end up being more toxic? Because it's just, for us, we saw each other. So we could say all types of shit, even some shit that, like you said, when people see it from the outside, if someone just walked into some of those red eyes, they'd be like, I don't even know if I want to sit down.
Yeah, I remember, like, it was funny because I remember, like, it was toxic, but at the same time, like, we were, like, cool because we knew one another. That was the whole thing. Like, we came, like you said, once a month, sometimes twice a month and all that. And it was interesting to go into, like, this environment where you say, like, you'd see these people and it's like, hey, and that was the thing is, I remember, like, we didn't just, like, stop playing together, or we only played together at Red Eye. Like, we used to get together and play, like, EverQuest online and things like that. So we still played with one another. It was just nice to get your computer, take it somewhere, and sit across the room from one another and talk smack to one another. Like, my favorite thing was that. And I remember, like, dude, we used to have, I remember it got to a point where, like, I used to remember yelling out my old Spanish, you know, freaking yellings at 2 a.m. with fucking people, you know, we'd be sitting there playing and I'd fucking be yelling out from the just out of the back corner of the freaking red eye. And that was what I became freaking known for. I'll never forget that shit. But it was so funny. Like, I feel like, A, yes, it's because you're not face-to-face. You have, like, so much more toxicity. And one of the games that I sat there and, like, I love the game, but I hate playing the game, is freaking League of Legends. Because you get these people, like, even if you're not even playing ranked games, if you're just playing casual games, that you'll pick a champion and they'll already start right off the get-go before even starting the game. Like, why are you picking that person? That person sucks. You shouldn't be playing that person. And they just, like, go on and on and on. Like, granted, Riot has done a lot to make it where it's easier, where you don't have to worry about that, because now when you pick your character, you say, I want to go primarily bottom lane as a carry, or mid lane, so you get, like, your number one choice and then a secondary choice. So it'll throw you to either do the one, your main choice, or your secondary choice. And it's not like how it was before, where it just threw five people together and then it was an argument of who's playing what, you know. So they've fixed that a good bit, but I don't know if it's so much that they can't make friends, but yeah, it's I think it's definitely a, it's not face to face. So people become the internet cowboys of, you know.
Do you think a lot of it does come from that frustration of not being able to either talk to someone or want to teach? Because I think, again, about Red Eye, I think about, like, when I first started playing, like, even Quake and stuff like that, I was a keyboard turner. And, you know, I was not very good trying to play a game where you had to be twitch and you had to be quick and you had to be accurate with a keyboard. And sure, they made some fun of me for being like that, but they also taught me. Like, they taught me how to use the rail gun. They taught me how to use the hook. Now, granted, again, you're in person, but still, I'm playing on teams with competitive people who want to win. So they're still showing me. And then when I got better, they give you positive reinforcement. So yeah, even if they might laugh at you a little bit for being a keyboard turner, they're helping you to learn the right way to play. Whereas in games, you don't have any of that. It's like you're an asshat. you know, get good, and that's all you have is just straight negative.
I'll never forget the one of the red eyes that we were playing, that we were playing Battlefield 1942, and Renee, I'll never forget, Renee was just a beast with the planes. That dude, he could bomb you on the run, standing still. Like, it got to a point where this motherfucker would take a plane, would loop the shit upside down, and then dive at the ground and literally hover the shit above the ground and clip you with his wings and kill you. He get road kills with a plane. And I remember we started playing, and everyone on our side was just like, bro, we got to fucking take Renee out. Like, we got to sit there and stop him from being able to fly so well. So, like, right away, since I was Mr. Booze Master for the – I was the rolling bar, as I got known for. Like, everyone was like, yo, start giving Renee some drinks and this and that. So, like, I remember coming up, and I'm like, Renee, like, you want something to drink and this and that? And he's like, what, you're serving something? I'm like, no, I could fix you up something. And he's like, oh, well, hey, yeah, if you're getting drinks. And I remember, yo, I used to do – when we really wanted to do the whole, like, let's get – drunk fast and then keep the buzz all day long, I used to do either Bacardi or vodka and fucking Hawaiian punch. Oh. And I remember I started giving Renee just like a shot of liquor and Hawaiian punch, and he was like, damn, this is really good, isn't it? And then like I started increasing how much booze I was putting in it. So like by the third or fourth one, I was already like two shots in. So it was like, you know, in those 16-ounce glasses, man, it was like a quarter, if not more, was just straight liquor, and then it was just topped off. And I remember after his, like, third or fourth one, he tried to do his little, like, loop-de-loop to dive down, and yet he'd crash that bitch into the ground because he'd he'd misjudge how high up he was. So, yo, I remember it got to a point where, like, everyone was just like, thank you, you took his ass out, we could actually play this game. To the point where he came up to me, he's fucking standing there, you're like, yo, can I get another drink? And he's just, like, swaying there. And then, like, I remember after the fact when he realized, like, fuck, I'm more fucked up than I think I am. He was like, if Merlin comes up to you and says, let me fix you a drink, say no.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. And he's like, why'd you make him so strong? I said, motherfucker, we were trying to play this damn game. You kept killing our asses all. Like, we wanted to actually have a war and not fucking get one-sided.
So one of the reasons why I brought this conversation, besides the whole video game violence thing, is there was an article on the Huffington Post that said that, you know, Steam, your kid's favorite video game app, which I just like that they call it app, has a big Nazi problem. And it's basically talking about how anyone plays Steam, know they have communities, they have groups. And they were talking about how there are these groups where you can find like Nazi, white supremacy, hate groups and all that. But what was interesting, first of all, just full disclosure, like, look, I see people that say racist stuff, hateful stuff all the time. So obviously it's out there. But to be truthful, when you read through the article, and I personally went through Steam and was like searching to see, in the article, most of those groups were like empty. It was like, it was like 4, 7, 10, 20 people in the group. And that's the same thing I saw when I saw the group. That doesn't mean that there aren't people out there, but it just wasn't as big as they made. It almost looked like it was kind of a clickbait article. But that doesn't mean that they didn't have a point. And one of the things that they were talking about in the article is just how a lot of people find these safe spaces. And look, everyone has their own type of safe space. You know, you go somewhere where you like to hear people say things that you believe in, things that reinforce things that you like, people that you're comfortable with. That doesn't always have to be a bad thing. But and when you're angry, and more importantly, when you're hateful, that's when it gets bad. And like I say, one of the things that people like to do all the time that they think it's cool is use certain words that they think is going to get a poke out of you. And one thing I can tell you that you never heard at Red Eye was people throwing around the N-word or any real racial slurs. And look, sometimes we throw like little jokes around. Like, I'm not going to say that we were PC. No, we throw jokes around for sure. But we never would step over that line. Because like I said, we had every group there. So we had a guy named Wan Chai. So we make jokes like, oh, here come Wan Chai. Like, look, he probably got people that know who made that game. Now, yes, that could be if we want to be 100% like PC, that could be a stereotype. Like Asians make video games or are known for making a lot of video games. But it's not like we went and overstepped the line. So, you know, but we didn't go crazy with it, but we get close. You know what I'm saying?
I'll never forget. I think the most un-PC thing we ever said was someone would yell out to Wanchai, go back and keep running your damn gold farm.
Turn like WoW EverQuest. Yeah.
They're like, yo, call up your cousins and tell them to send us some gold in EverQuest because we need it from your gold farm. Oh my god, he would laugh his ass off at that. I remember that.
I remember one time, I think we were playing like one of the Grand Theft Auto or something, and we were in like one of the neighborhoods, and it was like one of the gangster neighborhoods or something. And then we were doing like the cab level where you drive around in the cab, and then one of the guys like, hey, mascot, that was my gamer name. They're like, so which way do we go? And I'm like, you bastard, this ain't my neighborhood.
Oh, Lordy.
But I mean, so the thing is that in some of the like responses to this article, people said, oh, but a lot of these kids who say that they're white supremacists or they say they like Nazis, it's not real. It's just to get a rise out of people. So what I pose to you, Randy, is do you think that's true or do you think that it could be half and half? Because me personally, I don't take that as an excuse. Yes, I believe that there's people out there who have no idea what real Nazis are. I know that there's people that don't understand really what they mean when they say these type of things. That doesn't mean that I don't think that some of these people have that kind of hate. They may not understand how far it goes. It's like when people say, oh, we don't need the government for anything, and they have no idea how deep and how many things the government does. So wiping it away would be stupid. But that doesn't mean that inside their brain, they still actually do want some of those things to be implemented. So in a nutshell, when someone is out there talking all that racist stuff, do you believe that they're just saying it to get a rise out of people, or some of it has to be part of them? They actually feel some of that inside.
Like that's man, it's a bit of like a slippery slope when you like look at that, because I think it's like a little bit of both, because you're going to have those people that are going to do it just to get a rise out of people. And you're going to have those people that are going to do it to get a rise out of people. But at the same time, like that's how they feel. And it's interesting because like looking at just how some people are, like you take like the YouTube thing, for example, where you'll have some of these creators, content creators, that they'll pull off of their quote unquote pranks. And you look at it and you're like, yo, that's just fucked up. Like, you're just doing it to get views type of a thing. It's kind of like the same thing. Like, one of the ones that I saw was like, I saw this video the other day of like the top 10 like pranks that went wrong in the hood. And one of them was this one dumbass kid that he freaking sat there and like was walking around in the hood and be like, hey, you want to kiss my ass? And what he literally had was a little fucking Eeyore that he had in his back pocket. And he was like telling people, oh, you want to kiss my ass? You want to kiss my ass? And yo, the best one was this one dude that was just sitting there, I believe with either his friend, his like good friend or his girlfriend. And there was one word that said, the guy was like, what? And then the guy's like, do you want to kiss my ass? And yo, this dude just in one motion just stood up and swung and clocked this kid in the jaw. And he was out like a light, and I'm like, that's what you get for being a dumbass and doing some stupid shit like that. And it's funny because you can kind of tie that in the sense of to like this type of a thing is there's people that'll do stupid things like that just to get a rise out of people, just to get, you know, views, just to get clicks and this and that. But like there are some people that are like legitimately they don't give a rat's ass, and you know, they're just the way that they are. And I laugh because when looking even full circle to like this last presidential election and shit, you know, you look at how everything was positioned and things like that. And it's, oh, we're going to make, you know, we're going to make America great again and blah, 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 blah. And you had all these like really, really bad racist people that came out and said, we're going to make it a white America again and blah, blah, blah. We're going to kick all these people out and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, look, let's face facts. If we were to kick out all immigrants, everybody's asses would be packing up and getting the fuck out of here, except for people that are, have Native American blood in them. Because we all immigrants, you know? And it's just crazy to just see how, like, how it can get out of hand like that. Like, you know, like you said, is a lot of those groups, there's barely that many people in it. And when you sit there and you look at it, a lot of those groups also, they're like, haven't been active in forever. And it's interesting to see how, like, these guys made this article in a sense, like you said, it was almost like it was clickbait, you know, just to get people to come onto their site and look at their article, get some ad revenue and shit. And it's just insane. Like, I feel, like you said, both ways. I feel those people that do it just for to get the rise out of people. And I feel that there's people that not only are they doing to get a rise out of people, but to also, like, that's what they feel inside, you know?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people just have that base anger. And it gets to the point where you say things that you know is going to get someone upset. But it's also just a matter of a lot of people just say things without thinking. And then, of course, that defense mechanism kicks in where you want to say, oh, well, why can't I say anything? And nowadays, what you have is you have people saying, oh, well, why can't I speak this way? Why can't I say what I think? Why can't I speak straight? Why can't? And it's like, you know why. It's like, you know, you can't talk certain ways. It's just like when you're around your parents. I mean, I guess some people go around and they curse in front of their parents. I always thought that it was insane. You have those parents, you have those kids who they could be talking hella shit. They could be gangster. They could be foul. They could be telling the dirtiest jokes. And as soon as they walk into their parents' house, they turn into little angels. They're like quiet and they're proper and everything. But then you always run into those few kids who they'll walk into their house. Oh, hi, mom. I'm fucking hungry. Can I get something to eat? And you're just there. You feel like you're about to get beat because you know if you spoke like that, you could be 50 years old and your mama could be 100 and she whoop your ass for accidentally saying a curse word.
That you just reminded me of the old Eddie Murphy joke from, I think it was Delirious, where he talks about how, like, he spent the summer that they took him out of his hometown and he went to, like, some white people's house. And he, like, in his curse, you couldn't curse your keys. Like, man, you couldn't even say dag in my house. I get whooped for that. He's like, I go walk into this, like, white people's house, and the mother tells the kid, like, oh, you got to get moving. He's like, shit, ma, come on. I'm moving as fast as I fucking can, man. Shit, ma, fuck. And he's like, that just blew my mind. And I'm like, the same thing. Like, I remember my house, like, who know? You never said anything, like, damn was about as far as it went, you know?
I remember I stubbed my toe one time, and I was like, ah, shit. And I flinched up because I was looking around to get my ass beat. I was like, oh, my God. My mom wasn't even there. She was out of town. I forgot. I was just thinking, like, a shoe was going to just come out of nowhere and hit me in the inside of the head or something.
The shoe would have come through the window, like, 2 days later because she threw it from out of town.
Yeah, just like... I mean, I remember long time ago, there a friend of mine, he's white, and he's like, look, man, I I'm not racist. I know this guy for a long time. I know he's not racist. He's like, but for real, could you just tell me why couldn't I say the N-word? I'm like, look, you know what? Honestly, you could, but it's kind of like anything else, depending on where you are. It's like, look, full disclosure, okay? You guys should know this if you've been watching the show long enough, but okay. J-A, for me, stands for Jose Antonio. So I am Cuban and black, right? So I could say the S word technically, but I wouldn't go around doing that because I'd probably get my ass beat. And it's wrong. It's just wrong, right? But there could be certain situations where I could be talking and it's not going to be a problem. Same thing with the N word. This is how I look at it, like, this way. Think about your mama jokes, right? So... if you are with a bunch of friends and you've known them for a long time, you probably, depending on the situation, could say a your mama joke and get away with it. Your friend probably won't beat your ass. Go say that to a stranger. Just go up there and be like, oh, hi, my name is John. By the way, your mama sucks a golf ball through a garden hose, and see what happens to you. That's kind of like the same thing saying the N-word. It's like, sure, you could do it, but you don't have that familiarity with that person. So you're taking a big risk. So it's the same thing with the N-word. with black people, it doesn't necessarily mean you can necessarily just go up and start saying it either. Like, it, I know on TV it makes it look like we just walk up to black people. What's up, my aunt? What's up, my aunt? It's not always like that. This ain't an episode of The Wire. But it's more like you have that kind of like common ground where it's like, if you do say it, they're not going to beat your ass. Anyone else, you're kind of rolling the dice. It's kind of like with the ass thing. If you have a friend and you walk up to your friend and say, kiss my ass, he's going to either laugh, chuckle, or be like, kiss my ass. You walk up to a stranger and say, kiss my ass, they might roll their eyes, they might ignore you, they may say, fuck you, or they might knock you the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that most of these things, to me, is simple. If you take maybe 5 seconds to 10 seconds to think about it. But the problem with Twitter, even message boards, is people don't take that 5 to 10 seconds anymore. And that's why you get in trouble. And then the problem is people come back and say, oh, social justice warriors, and people are so touchy. Okay, maybe people are, but you're also not that bright if you can't take 10 seconds to say, maybe I shouldn't say this shit. And true, maybe it'd be better if we could all say whatever we want, but that's not the world we live in. So maybe you got to work to change that. But in video games, look, you can trash talk, but you know that line. We can't get to a world where we can't tell where the line is and where it isn't. And the reason why I kind of have a problem with like Trump, besides politics, like forget politics. I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat. Leave that alone for a minute. I was never the kind of person who was like, oh, tradition. You have to do things like this. You got to be like that. I'm like a casual guy. Like, I'm the kind of person that when they tell you that you have to wear a suit and tie when you answer phones in a dark room doing customer service, my response is, why? No one sees you and it's uncomfortable as hell. To me, it's stupid to have like a dress code when you're sitting in the back of a room somewhere where no customers see you. And the reason I bring this up is that I do understand that if they want you to dress a certain way to sit in front, like when you walk into a hotel, okay, if somebody's wearing like baggy clothes and they look terrible, like unwashed, I admit it does make a bad impression on the hotel. You admit it. You would feel that way. You walk into a 5-star hotel and the person behind the counter is wearing torn jeans, unshaven, and looks dirty, you're going to be like, what the hell? But if they look nice in a suit and they're like, welcome to the Hilton, you're going to be like, that looks normal. I think you got to have at least some of those guidelines when it comes to things. And the president should be that case. People laugh and they think that it's a joke when you have the president acting like a gamer, acting like a comedian, acting like a fool as the president, but it's not cool because the presidency and a few other things should be that line where it's like, act like it, you know, put that shit away. Because like, for whatever you say about Obama, he acted like a president. And then when you saw him joke around, like when they have the correspondence dinner or whatever, you're like, oh man, that's cool. Even Bush, like you could say, oh, he acted this or that. But for the most part, he would act presidential. He'd have a few gaffes here or whatever. But man, it's like anything else. And going back to the gaming topic, one of the things that was interesting about us at Red Eye, for as much shit talk as we could do and as crazy as we were at Red Eye, when we would go out and even do our runs at the restaurant, the buffet, we never got kicked out of buffets for acting crazy. Mm-mm. Sure, sometimes we'd be laughing or joking, but we always knew that when the volume got a little bit too loud, we'd calm it down. If we were cursing a little bit too, we'd calm it down. Why? Because we knew we were outside of Red Eye now. We were in public. We were with the civilians. Calm that shit down. That's all you have to do to be okay, is calm that shit down.
Calm that shit down. What's the word for today? Calm that shit down.
Calm that shit down.
Oh, Lord. God, we used to have so many good, like, little things that we'd do. I'll never forget, like, one of my favorite memories I'll never forget of Red Eye is going on the drink run one time where me and Roger went, and grabbed a cart at Publix and just loaded this son of a bitch up with beer. And I mean, when I tell you we loaded a cart with beer, we're talking filled the basket, the underside, like we filled this bitch up with beer. And then as we're waking our way to the register, Roger's like, oh, wait, and grabs one big bag of Doritos. So when we get to the checkout lane, it's just beer, one bag of Doritos. And the girl that's checking us out, like, is scanning beer, sees the one bag of potato chips, and she's like, man, I don't know where the hell y'all are going, but damn, it's going to be a good time. And we both just, like, looked at each other and realized, like, wait a minute, we fucking spent, like, $100-something on beer and one bag of chips for food, and that's it. Oh, man.
And I think that was another thing. Like, back in the day with, like, EverQuest and stuff like that, it's strange because one of the things that I noticed, and I pick it up more now than even back in the day, because now you have voice chat. But with EverQuest, you didn't have voice chat. And another thing in EverQuest that you didn't see that much, and people who played, like, UO, Anarchy Online, Ultima Online, would know that you didn't use, like, shorthand or lead speak that much. Like, people would still type out full sentences. So what would happen is, like, in EverQuest, those camps would be so long. Like, it's not like World of Warcraft where you'd go through a dungeon in 30 minutes. You would go into a dungeon, there'd be, like, 50 groups, because it's not instance. It'd be 50 groups in one dungeon, and you'd camp literally one mob. And that mob would have placeholders. So you may not get that mob that mob might spawn once every 5 hours. So you'd sit there and you'd end up talking with people and typing things out. And the thing is that they eventually came out with their fanfare, and they would have their fanfares, Sony did back in the day. They'd have them in different states. So when they had one down here in Orlando, we actually would meet, and you would actually meet and talk with these people. And even though there was, like, some beef thing that happened with some of the server, one group of people from some server, for the most part, 99.9% of the people were cool. And you got together, you got to meet people. I mean, hell, people got married, well, and divorced. But, you know, people got married, hooked up in these games. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's as much as people talk about all this toxicity and stuff, you can also meet and find all the good stuff in there too, because I know people that are like old people who are like, hey man, I log into these games and I'm able to make friends because I play these games with people and I log in every day and it's like my connection to the world. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe it's the game. I mean, maybe is it just the game type? Like, let's say, like, okay, so you were just playing Rainbow Six Siege. You are also like playing PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. Do you see like a lot of that toxicity in those games, or is it because of the type of the game there's less?
Siege, no. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, I want to say yes. Not like a ton, but you'll see it. But yeah, no, Siege, it's not as like, you won't get like really toxic people. Or at least I haven't seen any. Then again, I haven't played ranked yet, so that's gonna be fun. I think for that, me and my friends are waiting till like all of us are on, and then we're going to do our placement matches and see, because it's like, yeah, no, you don't want to jump into ranked with a group of like pugs out there and then be like, oh great, like I lost 7 of my 10 placement matches because people did bonehead moves and this and that, and they couldn't talk to you. Because that's a big thing with when you're playing some of those games now. Like you say, EverQuest before wasn't about so much communication as it was like, okay, we need to do this and this and that. And like you said, you had a lot of downtime where you could plan your strategy out ahead of time. Now, so many games are so important on communication that it makes it completely different. And you will have like people that'll be pretty like bad when it comes to, you know, games. Like I laughed. So I was actually streaming the other day, and I wish I would have had somebody clip the part of my stream where I was playing, and I'm sitting there, and I knew where this one dude was, and he had to come to where I was. So I'm like, I had the advantage. I had the angle of the peek, and I saw him peek out, shot and miss. He went back, and I had impact grenades, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to throw one towards that corner because it's going to hurt him regardless. Yo, I threw the grenade, and boom, get the kill. And I'm like, oh, cool. Like, he was low enough health that it did him in. When we watched the replay, dude, and this is what I love about Siege, is when you, especially when you do it with a grenade, it actually shows your character throw the grenade and then it follows the grenade out. So, like, it shows it from the perspective of the grenade. Yo, the timing I did for that couldn't have been more perfect, because I literally chucked the grenade. And that grenade, he came around the corner, and that thing just went and hit him in the forehead and blew up. And I laughed because we were like, oh, like, we bet he wasn't expecting that. Oh, my God.
Have you ever had, like, a bad voiceover IP experience? Because I admit, most of the time, if I'm in a pug, I don't use voice, because it just, there's always some idiot that's playing music or humming. I don't know why. It's like, that's like one of those things, like a meme that is true, that I don't know. Everywhere I go, it's like, okay, let me log in and see what the voice is. And there's someone playing music or someone just going, and it's just like, Jesus Christ. But I admit, the few times I've been in where it's like a pug in like World of Warcraft or something, I've noticed it's never been toxic. And I wonder if it's because people are like, I don't want them to hear my voice. They might be able to track me or something.
Yeah, that's something that I believe in too. Yeah. But alas, we got to just let that shit go, people. Let that shit go.
You got to let it go, man. All right. Well, we're going to be back with another show very soon. But in the meantime, try to lower the toxicity level, because you know, you can't have all that build up of toxic. And then, you know, if people don't see you shouting all types of crazy shit, they maybe might not think that we'll be violent. You know, you can't have them thinking that. But until next time, increase the peace. All right, guys.
Peace.
Hey, guys, listen. You like the games? You like the interviews? You like the shows? How about you click on that subscribe button and also give us a like? We really need your help here, huh?